Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Good to see all y'all. Man, that's like Southern right there. How y'all doing? All right, Brian got me there. It's Mother's Day, and so we got to do a Mother's Day sermon, right? And this sermon actually starts off with asking, who is your mother? And the passage we're going to look at today is going to tell us that our idea of motherhood, our idea of who our mothers are completely inaccurate, wrong, and unbiblical. Okay, so each one of us here, myself included, our idea of motherhood, who our mother are, who our family are, is completely unbiblical. And so that's where we're going to start, and as we unpack this passage, we're going to see how God corrects our view of motherhood, okay? How Jesus tells us who really our mothers are. And this is important because it has implications to our daily lives. Like, it's pretty important, I would think, for us to know who our mothers are. Is that right? So we got to know who our mothers are according to who Jesus says our mothers are. And so to prove my point, to show us how wrong we are in our ideas about motherhood, I'm going to need two volunteers. So I'm going to need a youth and a mom. Maybe Sean, can you come up here to represent the youth? Come on up. And then maybe Corinne, can you come up here to represent the moms? So I want to show you guys that we have a really, really bad, horrible misunderstanding of who mothers are. Okay, so you guys come on up here. Come on up. All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then we'll show you how wrong we are, okay? So Sean?
Hi.
Is this on?
Yeah.
It's good? All right. Sean, who's your mom?
My mom is Ms. Zhang.
is Ms. Zhang in here?
Or Kathy.
Are you sure that's your mom?
Yes.
Yes?
I am sure.
What kind of terms of endearment do you call your mom? Like, on days when you actually like her, what do you call her?
Mama.
Mama? Okay, you guys got that, right? So, where's Miss Zhang? Zhang.
She's not here.
Okay, she's serving somewhere in the Sunday school. So, Sean, I would like for you to look at Auntie Corinne over here and then call her Mama.
Hi, Mama.
Can you call her a couple more times?
Hi, Mama.
So, was that weird?
No.
It wasn't weird? No. Oh, man. I'm glad your mom's not in here to hear that. Okay. So, it was weird for us to hear that. All right. So, Corinne, I got the same question for you here.
Okay.
Who are your kids?
David and Claire.
David and Claire. On the best days when you actually like David, what terms of endearment do you call him?
Sweetie.
Okay, so you know what I'm going to do, right? You're going to have to look at Sean right here and call him sweetie a couple times.
Hi, sweetie.
I'm not.
So is that awkward?
Yeah.
It's weird? Okay, thank you, guys. Give him a round of applause. Okay, they looked awkward. Okay, they looked weird. Corinne said it was. Sean said no, but I don't buy it. He looked really weird up here and uncomfortable. Why is that? If we have a biblical view of motherhood, that interaction that you saw right there should not have been awkward. It should not have looked uncomfortable. And that's what I'm saying is all of us, we have this wrong attitude and wrong view of motherhood, myself included. And we saw that, right, with Sean and Corinne. And I bet you if I brought any teens up here or any moms up here, they would have the same reaction. We will look at it and just go, that's weird. All right, Corinne's not Sean's mom. So they would never call each other by their terms of endearment. But that's wrong. That's not biblical. And so we want to unpack today's passage and say, well, what does Jesus exactly say about motherhood and family and brotherhood and sisterhood and that kind of stuff? And how is Jesus redefining how we relate to each other as family members? So if you will open up your Bible to Mark chapter 3, we're going to wrap up the passage. So Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. And let me just set up the context here for those who haven't been following. So we've been preaching through Mark. At this point, Jesus had been doing his ministry for about a year. And so it's been a year's time where people have gotten to hear about Jesus Christ. The crowds are swarming towards him. They know that he is healing people. They know that he's casting out demons. They know that Jesus is teaching with authority that they've never seen in the Jewish leaders before. And so everything about Jesus is amazing. And so people are flocking to him. And we saw from a couple Sundays ago, people are flocking to him, not just from his hometown, but people are traveling hundreds of miles to go see this person called Jesus. And so as we look at what's going on today in this passage, Jesus is in a house and he is teaching. And what happens is his family members, like his mom and his brothers, heard about what was going on with Jesus. And you're going to see that they got anxious and were worried about Jesus, because it's going to say that Jesus is swarmed every day, that he doesn't even have time to eat. Like, people are just taking up his time. He doesn't have time, and he's not physically even able to eat. And so his mom and his brothers are worried. And so they travel 20 miles, and that's like a good day's walk, to get Jesus. Then in the middle of them traveling, so as they're walking, Jesus is in this house, right? And he's talking to the Jewish people. He's talking to the Jewish leaders. And then another story kind of spins up there, which is related to today's message, which is, you know, who's our mother? Who's our family? And so when he's done with that story, his mom and his brothers arrive in the house. And so they want to go in and start grabbing Jesus and pulling him away. And what I want us to show us here today is that both his mom and his brothers, the first group, as well as the second group, the Jewish people, like his people, okay, he's a Jewish person, his race, his ethnic people also do not comprehend what family in Christ means. Both of these groups have it wrong. So we're going to read, and that's the context as we start reading. So just know there's two stories going on here, but they're all related, okay? So Mark chapter 3, verse 20, and we're going to read till the end of the chapter. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven of all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and his brother arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." A lot is going on here. We could spend a couple Sundays going through this passage. It's so rich, especially the part where it talks about the strong man and binding of the strong man and the unforgivable sin. Unfortunately, we don't have time to talk about that today, so we're going to focus on the main message, which is Jesus asking the question, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" See, these two groups, the first one, his mom and his brothers, when we think about who's my mother, and you saw that in Sean, right? When I asked Sean, "Who's your mother?" he said, "Mrs. Zhang, Kathy." And so that was the first thing that came to his mind. My immediate mom is my mom. No one else is my mother. But that's the problem. Our view of motherhood is so narrow and so unbiblical. And we see Jesus trying to tackle this, right? When they arrive to get him, and someone says, hey, your mom and brother's outside trying to get you. And he turns around and says, well, who's my mom? Who's my brother? He did not acknowledge that his mom and his brother that were standing out there were his mother or were his brother. So his own family didn't realize that. They thought they were going there to protect him, to take him away from the crowd, right? If I was Jesus' mom, I would probably be thinking, my son's not eating, my son's not resting, I need to go rescue him. I need to go get my son because he's out of his mind. Bring him home to be with his family, to be with his mom, to be with his brothers. They don't see the crowd. They don't see the disciples. They don't see the apostles. They don't see any one of these other people as the family of Jesus. And that's how we see our family all the time. You know, how many of us see beyond our own immediate family? We don't. We look at the mother who gave birth to us. That's my mom. I don't call anyone else my mom. And Jesus is really challenging that this morning. He's saying, really? Is that right? Is the mom who gave labor to you really your mom? Well, who is your mom? And then the second group we see here that starts questioning Jesus is his Jewish people, right? So for us, it would be like the Chinese people. So if the Chinese people start questioning us if we're Chinese, that's pretty messed up. And so these Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, they say, well, Jesus, you're not part of us. You're satanic. You're demonic, right? You belong to Satan. You belong to the demons. You're not part of God's people. You're not part of the Jewish people. You're not part of your ethnic race. And so they didn't see Jesus either as their family. And that's why these two people go horribly, horribly wrong. And so we want to ask ourselves, well, if that's the case, then who is our mother? Who is our brother? Who is our sister, right? Who does Jesus say they are? Because if that's not who they are, which most of us normally think of, then who is it? And so Jesus gives us the answer, and he redefines family in Christ. He says in verse 35, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. That's a weird thing for Jesus to say, right? That's his answer. He's saying, why is it moving along? Go back. Oh, I got this. All right, I'll click it through. If we step back and ask, why is Jesus saying this? Why is he claiming that the people sitting in front of him, right, those who follow Jesus, those who does God's will, why does he say those are my brothers, sisters, and mother, and not the one standing outside? We know at this point his brother and his mom didn't understand what Jesus was doing. In fact, his brother rejected him and thought he was crazy. And we saw in here his mom also thought he was crazy, right? The mom didn't think he was the Messiah. The mom didn't think, although she had this spiritual experience, an angel appearing to her when she was a young girl, but now it seems like she doesn't quite understand who Jesus is. And so Jesus says, these are the ones that are my family. And we have to step back and ask why Jesus is saying that. If we look at why Jesus says that, it's because he's talking about a restored eternal family that's being reconciled to him. And so if we look at the gospel simply, when God created all of creation, it was good, right? Adam and Eve was with God. It was part of his eternal family. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, eternity was broken, creation was broken, everything was broken. And so now none of us are part of the eternal family of God, which is the original design, right? So at this point, none of us are part of God's family. And so when Jesus came and died on the cross and gave his blood and gave his body, Jesus radically transformed that brokenness. He now has fixed that through his sacrifice. And so through his death and resurrection, we can now be part of the eternal family of God. And so when he talks about this and he's saying, whoever does the will of my Father is my brother, sister, and mother, he's talking about that eternal family. He's referring to that, and he says, whoever does that, that's part of my family. And so this is really, really hard to accept especially if we look at this first family, our immediate family, right? The father, the mother, the child, your parents. We think of those folks as our family. And Jesus draws the line and he says, no, your family is the eternal family. And here's the reality. The family that we were born into, our blood, our DNA, that's temporal. That's an earthly family. We're not going to be together forever. But those who are in God, those who follow God's will, that's eternity. And so I can look at a brother in Christ like Stuart and say, man, you know what? I'm going to be with Stuart in eternity, and he's my family in Christ, right? That has a higher precedent over a family that is temporal, that's earthly. And when I first looked at this, I had this visceral like reaction to it, because I think to myself, I don't know that I would say that about my own family, because I love my family, right? I see them as the piece of people closest to me. And that's why I got to tell you, Christ comes and he challenges on that. He says, is that really your family? It's the one who follows my Father's will. This is a tough pill to swallow. The second one he talks about is the ethnicity of the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people rejected him. And many of us, if we look at social media, there's a lot of racial identity going on where the white people say, oh, I'm a white person, or the black person say, I'm a black person, or the Asian say, I'm an Asian person, and so the white stays with the whites, the black stays with the blacks, and you got this whole racial identity and racial conflict going on in society, and Jesus blows that away, and he says, you're focusing on the wrong thing to call your family. Your skin color doesn't identify who your family is. Your family is the one who follow God's will. And so if you like playing with gender, with racial identity, then you're playing with the wrong cards, okay? And the next one, you got gender identity. Man, this is all over the news. We see people trying to identify in groupings of gender identity and say, you know, I'm this L, I'm that G, I'm this T, I'm whatever first letter, and that's my people, that's my group, that's my family. And Jesus challenges you and say, is that true? Is gender, does that define who your family is? He's saying, no, it's not. It's whoever follow God's will. That's your family. And here's the last one. This is madness if you look at what's going on, right? Political families. Oh, man, I tell you, back in 2016 when we had the presidential election, our church WeChat and our church Facebook exploded with people in the church, okay, saying nasty things about each other because they weren't on the same political line. Okay, you saw the Republicans go out and go like, oh, you Democrats, and they start calling each other out. And Jesus again says, your family isn't through political lines. Okay, your family is not defined by who you vote or who the president is. Your family is defined by this. Those who do God's will. And Jesus challenges us and say, this, that's your family. So when you look at people around here in this room, and not just in this church, GCBCR, but the church down the road, or the church in Africa, or the church in China, they look different, they vote different. But Jesus says, if they follow God's will, then they are part of your family. And so that really challenges us as to how we think about our family going forward. Jesus is saying, your family aren't all these things. It is those who are restored to be part of the eternal family of God. And so I want us to look at a passage that talks about this in John 1, 10 through 13. It says this, he, meaning Jesus, he was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. We see this, right? His parents, his mom and his brothers reject him. The Pharisees reject him. The Jewish people reject him. Everyone rejected him. It says he came to that which was his own, because God created us, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, so not the mom who gave birth to you, not of human decision, so none of those four things we talked about, or a husband's will, but born of God. Family redefined, motherhood redefined, brotherhood, sisterhood. All of that changes. And I want us to look at a couple passages where Jesus talks about this and then he's gone, okay? So he's died on the cross, he's resurrected, he's ascended, and we want to see if this truth was actually lived out in the new Christian community, in the early church. Did they actually believe this? Did they actually live it this way? So I'm going to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This talks about the early church, and let's see if that's really how they lived. So Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves, they meaning the early church, the early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So you get the sense here that they're always meeting together and doing things together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. See, when your family is in trouble, you sell your stuff because you don't want to see them in need, right? That's what they're doing here. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, they lived like a big family. No longer were they separate little individual families. Now they were all part of the restored eternal family of God. Here's another one that I want to show us. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. It says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as your brother, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." Right, this has been many years. I mean, by the time Timothy wrote this letter, it's been years since the early church. And they continue to emphasize this point of guys in your church, they're your dads and your brothers. The women in your church, they're your moms and your sisters. And here's the final one. And I want to show you that Jesus didn't just tell his disciples to do this. Like, he believed in this and he did this himself. This is in John 19, verse 25 to 27. When Jesus was on the cross and he was about to give his last breath to die for our sins, he looked down and he talked to his mom. Okay, this is what's going on. He's on the cross, he's all bloodied up. John 19, verse 25 through 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. So we know that Jesus' mother is Mary, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three Marys standing right there. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, to his mom, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. See, even Jesus believed in this, right? Mary was Jesus' mother. She was not John's mom. But John took her on as his own mom. And that's how the community begins to look like heaven, the family in eternity. Okay, when we are reconciled back to the family of God, all of us here are one big family. So I want to demonstrate this point, okay? Can the moms stand up? If you're a mom, can you just stand up? If you are a mother, can you stand up? Okay. So these are the moms. This is what we've been going through scripture, right? Each one of these women here, they are the moms of this church. Okay, so you guys, every single one of these ladies here are now your moms. Don't expect more Christmas presents because I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, but every single one of these ladies here are equally invested in your life, right? I don't know what kind of mom you have. Some of you guys have terrible moms. Some of you guys have okay moms. Some of you guys have great moms. It doesn't matter because God has now given you all of these moms and your view of motherhood is now different, okay? So all of these ladies now are your moms. You guys feel free to yell at them like your own child. Totally okay. You're given permission through scripture. And these moms right here, you know, motherhood is so hard. I don't think I could survive a day as a mom. It's just really hard. And so we just want to acknowledge that for you guys. And just know that this is not a solo journey, okay? Motherhood itself is really hard. And some of you have issues with your child and you're really struggling. Just know that each woman here is your sister in Christ. And so you're walking this journey together. It's not a solo journey. Don't feel like you have to take it on yourself. Every single woman here is to walk this journey with you. And you are, if you are a mom who's not struggling and you're saying, man, everything's going great, then God is going to use you to invest into the families that you are around, that you see are struggling, to invest your blessings back into those families and be a mom that walks alongside other moms that are struggling. So that's the calling for you guys. Okay, we'll do that for guys right now. They don't have that. But for the moms, this is the sisterhood. This is the motherhood. So when you guys are walking in church now, call all of them mama. Not just your own mom. Start calling them mamas, okay, with terms of endearment. Thank you, mothers. One more thing. When you guys are walking out, Timothy has a lot of gifts for you. The church has Mother's Day gifts for each one of you guys. We want to recognize you and give you those things. Okay, so here's the challenge. In your bulletin, you should have this card. It's actually a Mother's Day card that was customized just for you. And come on, look at this card. It's awesome. It has Jesus on there, right? It's like the perfect card. Jesus as his mom. What better Mother's Day card could you ask for? So that's Christ asking his mom, who is my mother? Okay, don't do that to your mom, please. But here's the challenge. Don't walk up to her and say, who's my mom? Okay, here's the challenge. If you haven't bought your mom a Mother's Day card, then I just save you a trip. Use this as your Mother's Day card. Write a beautiful message to your mom today. Give it to your mom. Tell her how awesome she is, okay? If you have given your mom something, then I want to challenge you to look at another woman that's in our church. Maybe this woman have invested in your life. Maybe that person taught you in Sunday school. I don't know. However, this other mom have invested in your life, write that person a Mother's Day card. Okay? Acknowledge her as your spiritual mom, because that's what Jesus is pushing us towards. Not just immediate family moms, not just people of our own race, not gender, not political affiliation, but those who follow the will of the Father. Okay? Those are your moms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. You challenge our narrow, tiny, imperfect, messed up view of who we call our moms. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ showing us that we are a family restored, a family that is going to be together for all eternity. And so, God, I pray that you help us be deliberate in supporting each other. Lord, we pray that you help us be a community that's authentic, a community that lives out this biblical truth, Lord, that we can invest in each other's lives and be able to call each other moms and sisters and brothers and fathers. We give you praises for who you are, Lord. Thank you for your restorative work in bringing broken creation back together and reconciling it to the Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.